Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on how to receive God's best was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
The Lord, in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, sent out spies into the promised land, and they came back and they said, oh, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 23, it talks about that they got one cluster of grapes, and it was so big they had to put it on a pole in between two men to carry it. You know, we don't even understand, but back before judgment came upon the nation of Israel, it says it was like the Garden of Eden. One cluster of grapes was so big that two men had to carry it. Could you imagine two men carrying one of our clusters of grapes? This thing was huge. The land was awesome. It was green. It was like the Garden of Eden. It was well watered. It was an awesome place. And they entered into their promised land and they started eating the old corn of the land, the fruit that grew out of the ground. And you know what? It was more abundant than the manna. Matter of fact, it says that the children of Israel got to where they loathed that manna. They hated it. Did you know if you ate the same thing morning, noon, and night for 40 years, you would hate it? I don't care if it was your favorite dish, if it was a steak, if you had to eat steak three meals a day for 40 years, you'd throw that steak in the ground to go get a hot dog if somebody offered you one. People like variety, but you know what? They got tired of the manna, and yet it says some of the people went out to gather the manna after it had ceased, and it wasn't there. You know, it's amazing. I could bet my life on this because I deal with people. That many of those people had grown up never eating anything but manna in their entire life. It says that all of the people who were 20 years old and above died in the wilderness. So that means that the only people who were still alive before the manna started coming were people who were less than 20 years old. But for 40 years, they had eaten nothing but manna. So that means for 2/3 of their life, they had never eaten anything but manna. And the majority of the people who went into the promised land were people who had never eaten anything but manna. They had never planted a crop. They had never weeded anything out. They had never put fertilizer on anything. They had never grown a thing in their life. They had lived by a miracle every day of their life for 40 years. And I can just guarantee you when Joshua said that tomorrow we'll eat the good of the land, some of those people went out the next morning to see where their manna was. They had gotten manna every day for 40 years, and they went out, and I can just hear some of them saying, man, not me. I'm not going to dig in the ground and eat something that grows out of the ground. I'm not going to have to work. I'm not going to sweat. You aren't going to make me have to work. I'm a full gospel person. God just supplies my needs supernaturally, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to continue to believe God for a miracle. Well, there was a period of time he met their needs by a miracle, but it came to an end. It was only during a crisis situation. It was only temporary. And if a person would have said, man, I'm just believing for God to supernaturally meet my needs, they'd have starved to death.
Come on, come on.
And you know what? There are people today that have prayed, and because God loves you in a crisis situation, miracles happen. Like, I've actually heard stories before about a woman who was starving to death and she prayed and believed God, and a dog drug a bag of groceries up and dumped it on her front door and didn't eat any of it and just left it. And there was steak and there was all kinds of things there. You know what? That's a miracle that a dog would not eat it and drag it up and put it on your doorstep. That's a miracle. But if that's the way you're going to live, and if you're going to have God supply a miracle, you're going to go from crisis to crisis to crisis, and it will come to an end. Eventually, God wants you to get out there and figure out how to take this power to get wealth and start using it and be productive. And yet, there are probably people in this room who are praying and just asking God to give you a miracle. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessing of Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, it says, He will bless whatever you set your hand unto. 100 times 0 is 0. And there are probably people right here in this room that are doing absolutely nothing for God to bless, but you are believing God for a miracle to supply your need, and you're wanting. This is what leads people to play the lottery. You know, this is just my opinion. I know some of you are going to take offense at this, but it's just the way I feel, that only losers play the lottery. Statistics show that over 80% of all lottery buyers are in the poverty level. People who know how to make money do not spend money on a lottery ticket. That's just stupid. Somebody, oh, so-and-so won $52 million. Yeah, 1 out of 450,000 people wins. Man, I got a sure thing. Put your money in the gospel and you'll get a 100-fold return on every penny you put into the gospel. You can count on that. A blessing can be counted on. You can't count on a miracle. You can't control a miracle. There isn't a handle on a miracle. You just get in a crisis situation and you believe God, and praise God, maybe you'll get a miracle. But you know what? You can start walking in the blessings of God, and you can make the blessings of God manifest. That's powerful. And yet there's people that are out there and they're doing nothing. They're buying a lottery ticket thinking that that's how God's going to get the money to you. The Bible talks, I'm not going to turn over and read all these, but it says wealth gotten by vanity takes away the life of the owners thereof. Somebody's going to win the lottery, but it's not God that's going to rig it and make you win it. That would be dishonest. If God was a person, he'd be put in prison. God's not going to fix the lottery for you. God's not going to help you to just somehow or another win. God is not going to promote you to the CEO if you're a couch potato and if you don't do a good job. And if you aren't serving your company well, you can't believe God for a miracle and he just leapfrogs you to the top of the ladder and gives you all of this success. There are some people who are believing God to just supply your needs supernaturally. You're like the people that want to go out and receive manna. And there may have been a time where God has done a miracle for you, but it's in a crisis situation. It's temporary. This is not the way that God wants you to live from miracle to miracle. He wants you to learn how to start being productive. Set your hands unto something and believe God to bless it. I'm not against people that are on welfare. Anybody could be in trouble and need help temporarily, but I am against people that are on welfare for 10 years, 20 years, second and third generation. And there's people who said, but if I went and got a job at McDonald's, I'd make less than I do off of welfare. But you would be putting your hand to something, and God can bless that. God can't bless welfare. You aren't going to have God supernaturally bless welfare. It is an ungodly system to get something for nothing. Thank you for that thunderous silence. If they'd make me dictator for a week, I can solve a lot of problems. You know what? We just got systems in place that are ungodly. God doesn't want you to be getting something for nothing. God, for you to just sit here and pray and believe that God's going to supply your need, you are believing for a miracle that if you get it, you are going to be in a crisis situation before it comes. You're going to be right on the verge of disaster before you get it. It's not going to happen any other way. He's not quick to hand out miracles because he'd rather you start just learning the laws, natural and spiritual laws, to work, and God will bless what you set your hand unto and start doing things. And he wants to supply your need through a blessing, not through a miracle. Amen. So some of those people got up and went out looking for manna, and it ceased. And they, if they hadn't have just eventually come around to, well, you know what, I guess I'm going to have to dig in the ground. I guess I'm going to have to plant a seed. I'm going to have to cooperate with the laws that God made. I'm going to have to work. if I want to eat. If they didn't adopt that and if they just sat there waiting on the manna, they starved to death because it was over. God does not want to meet your needs only by miracles. You know, in the physical realm, there are people that sit here and you treat your body wrong. You never eat. You never exercise. You aren't honoring your parents. You don't have joy. You are depressed and discouraged, which people today think, well, I have no control over that. You have absolute control over it. If you're depressed, you chose to be depressed. I can feel the darts coming my way right now, but it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And anyway, there's people that, well, I just can't help it. And you're sitting here and you've got depression going. You got inactivity, bad food. You're overweight, which I'm not condemning anybody who's overweight. I'm overweight. A little bit of sin is not better than a lot of sin. I'm not mad at myself. I'm not mad at you. But I'm saying you are violating natural laws. And then when something goes wrong, you just pray for a miracle. That's not how God wants to do it. You know, I carry feed sacks all of the time, and they're like 50 pounds a piece. If I was 100 pounds overweight, that's like putting two feed sacks strapped to my middle. And if I could tie two feed sacks to my middle, and if I carried two feed sacks around, and then when I slept, I had these feed sacks on top of me, and every time I rolled over, I had to flip over, and you know what? I'd probably have back problems. And if you came up to me for prayer and if you had two feed sacks strapped around you, I'd pray for a miracle, but you know what I'd do? I'd say, take those sacks off and it'll help.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to receive God's best. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1072 for CD or R3215D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-163 titled Crisis and Miracles when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to visit our website. It's awmi.net. And on this website, we have over, I think it's 7 years worth of television programs, about 10 years worth of radio programs, thousands of programs that you can listen to free of charge. We have hundreds of my teachings that are free downloads. We have news items where you can get videos and updates on our ministries around the world. It's one of the greatest resources on the web. I really believe that. Remember, it's awmi.net. It's available 24/7, and it would be a blessing to you, so check it out today.